We are doing the Gemara Arvei Pesachim, and we're pushing over a discussion about Masa Ashira by another week, Bezrat Hashem. What do we see so far? We saw our Mishnah that said that on Erev Pesach, at Samoch the Mincha, which we said a half hour before Mincha time, a person shouldn't eat till dark. We asked the question, why does it say only Erev Pesach? This is true for every Erev Chag. And then we said, okay, well, Rabbi Yossi lets you eat every Erev Chag until dark. So over here in Erev Pesach, he says, don't eat. And that was the answer that stood. We tried giving another answer, but that didn't work out. We disproved that answer. So we said that's the answer of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna's answer, that works. So far we all together? Yes? Yeah. Now we're up to Vile Rav Huna on Daf Kuf, five lines from the top. Vile Rav Huna minicha. And does Rav Huna's explanation really work? Rav Huna said that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi. Right? Our Mishnah really is only necessary with Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't let you eat on every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yom Tov. Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi's opinion. In general, you could eat, but Erev Pesach you shouldn't eat. You should come to Pesach with an appetite. According to Rav Huna, does it really work? But Rav Yirmiyah quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Others say it was Rav Abu in the name of Rav Yosef Rav Chanino, who said the following: Halacha k'Rav Yehuda be'erev Pesach, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda on erev Pesach, v'halacha k'Rav Yosi be'erev Shabbat, and the halacha is like Rav Yosi on erev Shabbos. Halacha k'Rav Yehuda be'erev Pesach, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda on erev Pesach, that you have to stop eating before Pesach. You're not allowed to eat. Wait a second. I thought Rabbi Yossi admits to Rabbi Yehuda that on Erev Pesach you have to stop eating. If they had to tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, that seems to indicate that even on Erev Pesach, Rabbi Yossi would let you eat throughout the afternoon up until Pesach. We kept saying that maybe our mission is Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi only lets you eat every other Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. But on Erev Pesach, he tells you, he admits to Rabbi Yehuda you shouldn't eat. If we're passing the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, that seems to indicate that Rabbi Yossi disagrees on Erev Pesach, and that contradicts Rav Huna's answer. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda be'erev Pesach mechlal depalik Rabbi Yossi b'tavayu. That would seem to indicate that Rabbi Yossi disagrees on both, be it Erev Pesach or any other Erev Yom Tov. Clear, Yonatan? That didn't sound too convincing. Let's yes, no, maybe, guys, should I explain it again?
Yes, maybe.
Okay, so we had said there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in general on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Are you allowed to eat in the late afternoon? Rabbi Yossi says you could eat. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Our Mishnah says Erev Pesach you're not supposed to eat in the late afternoon. So we said maybe our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi lets you eat every other Erev Yom Tov, but on Erev Pesach he says don't eat. That's the answer that Rav Huna offered. That on Erev Pesach Rabbi Yossi would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. He says you're not allowed to eat, and that's why the Mishnah has to tell me on Erev Pesach don't eat, because every other Erev Yom Tov Rabbi Yossi lets you eat. On Erev Pesach he agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're saying, wait a second. If really on Erev Pesach everyone agrees you're not allowed to eat, then how come we have a halachic ruling that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach? It's not only Rabbi Yehuda. I thought you said everyone agrees you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. So why would it have to rule like Rabbi Yehuda? That would seem to indicate that Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and even on Erev Pesach he allows you to eat in the late afternoon. That's the question. Yonatan, we together? Yitzchak, yeah? Shalmeir, Avshalom. Okay. So the Gemara says, lo, no, it's not the way you understood. When we said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, that was not with regard to having the meal. It was with regard to a different point. Halacha, when we ruled the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, mechlal de pligye de hafsaka. Their disagreement is when it comes to pausing. Meaning there are two questions at hand. One question is, you come to the rabbi and you say, hey, you know, it's Erev Pesach, I'm really hungry. I just got off duty in the army and I'd like to have a snack. So the rabbi tells you, okay, a snack you could have, don't sit down for a meal. It's Erev Pesach. Another question is, when you come to visit your parents and you show up Erev Pesach, and your mother sets a 10-course meal before you, whatever she was able to put together with the matzah ashira, and there's matzah brei and everything, and everyone's celebrating that you came, and before you know it, you're holding by the time for the Seder, and you didn't even realize it. You missed Ma'ariv, it's time for the Seder, you're in the middle of the meal, it turned dark, now what? You're in the middle of the meal, do you have to stop your meal? Or do you say, okay, so the meal will run into the Seder? So now we're going to enter a whole new discussion. What happens on a Friday afternoon where you were in the middle of a meal, you started your meal early, but the meal ran into Shabbos? Or we have this sometimes, now this year, we're going to have Shabbos running into Rosh Hashanah, right? 3-day Yom Kippur. Or it's Thursday, Friday. No, it's the other way around. Thursday, Friday. Rosh Hashanah runs into Shabbos. So let's say on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Friday afternoon, you're sitting down for your meal, and your meal lasts really long. You know, Rav Micha Hyman, his meals last till Motzei Shabbos. His day meal just goes on and on. So you became a chassid, or you have guests that keep coming, and your meal runs into Shabbos. Now what are you supposed to do? So that's a question of hafsaka. Do you have to stop your meal in honor of Shabbos? And that's a separate machlokas. So when we said the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda with regard to eating on Erev Pesach, we weren't talking about starting a meal on Erev Pesach. We were talking about what happens if you're in the middle of a meal when Pesach settles in. So that's the Gemara's answer here. Halacha, when we ruled the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, Michlal de Pligi, I infer that there's a disagreement between them. That's talking about behapsaka with regard to stopping the meal. Titania, for we have the following braisa, it's a tosefta. It says like this. Mafsikin la Shabbatot divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if you were in the middle of a meal and Shabbos came along, you have to stop. And this was very common because the practice used to be in Europe and in Sephard also communities, Sephard and Yemenite communities. Many communities had this, that they'd get married on Friday afternoon because people couldn't afford to fund the wedding. So every guest would bring their Shabbos meal along, and everyone bakes a little bit more for Shabbos, and they'd have a communal meal. And this was one of the ways they'd fund weddings. They didn't have the money, simply. So this was how they do it. So imagine you have a wedding, and you're sitting in the middle of the meal, and now Shabbos settles in. Now what do? You're in the middle of the meal. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mafsikin l'Shabbatot ivrei Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion you have to stop the meal for Shabbos. If you started the meal early, before Mincha, and you've been eating, and now Shabbos comes, so you have to stop the meal, and we'll see what you do in a few lines. Rabbi Yossi Omer, en mafsikin. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have to stop. You keep eating your meal, and it'll run into Shabbos, and that's fine. Umaseh, and a story happened, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. So we have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Shayum subin be'ako. They were all eating a meal. So they're having this festive meal in Akko. They're together with the Nasir, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Now we have to know that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi and Rabbi Yossi bar Tachlafta, Rabbi Yossi bar Tachlafta was a bigger Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yossi bar Tachlafta, we have a rule that the halacha is like him in many instances. So Rabbi Yossi is a big weight in halacha. So the rule that the Gemara tells us in Erevin is, Halachak Rabbi Yossi mechaveiro. Whenever Rabbi Yossi is arguing on another Tana, the halacha is going to be like him in general. Unless it's Rabbi Akiva or one of the powerhouse Tanaim. But in general, Rabbi Yossi, anyone he argues with, if he's arguing with an individual, he wins. If he's arguing with the rabbis, with a majority opinion, then not. But Halachak Rabbi Yossi mechaveiro. So he's one of the strongest Tanaim there are. He's one of the strongest weights in halacha. When you encounter Rabbi Yossi in halacha, you have to pause and listen closely. Now, what generation is Rabbi Yossi? He's the same generation as Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, right? They're all one generation. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dori, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and Rabbi Yossi bar Tachlafta. They were all in on that conversation about how we treat the Romans. You guys remember? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was decreed to be executed. Rabbi Yossi bar Tachlafta was banished up to Tzipori. And Rav Yehuda b'Rav Eloi was appointed the chief rabbi, was appointed the top speaker. So they're all sitting together with Rav Jim Ben-Gamliel eating, Rav Jim Ben-Gamliel, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi, v'kadesh aleihem hayom. And Shabbos settles in. They're sitting Friday, they're having this long meal together, and it runs into Shabbos. Amal le'Rav Shimon Ben-Gamliel le'Rav Yossi. So Rav Shimon Ben-Gamliel, who's the Nasi, but he knows that Rav Yossi is a bigger rabbi than him, he says to Rav Yossi, Berebi, and that's a term that they used for Godel Hador, Ritzoncha nafsik benechush ledivrei Yehuda chavereinu? Do you want us to pause our meal in honor of the opinion of Yehuda? Rav Yehuda was sitting there too. Rav Shimon Ben-Gamliel is the Nasi, so he asked the chief rabbi, he's the Nasi, but he knows that Rav Yossi is the Godel Hador. He asked him, do you want us to stop the meal in honor of Rav Yehuda's opinion? Amalo, so Rav Yossi takes offense. He said to him, "Bechol yom v'yom atam mechabev dvarai lifnei Rav Yehuda. You always favor my words over Rav Yehuda. V'achshav atam mechabev dvarai Rav Yehuda befanai? And now, in front of me, you want to take Rav Yehuda's opinion? Hagam mechbosh tamalkai mi babayit? Even when I'm around, like Achashver said to Haman, you want to capture the queen when I'm still here? So, what is this? Amale, so Rav Shem Ben Gamliel explained. He said to him, Imken lo nafsik, if we don't pause now, if we continue our meal, there are students sitting all around us. They're all watching us. And they're all going to see that we continue the meal from Friday into Shabbos, going with your opinion. Shema yiruot talmidim yikvu alacha ledorot. Then the students will say, halacha lemaisa, we saw Rav Shem Ben Gamliel was there, Rav Yehuda was there, Rav Yossi was there. That's a halacha. And we discussed, right? Did we discuss maise rav, the weight of a story? Did we discuss it once? Yonatan, Avshalom, yeah. We discussed that stories that are quoted have extra weight in halacha. Did we discuss that? The Gemara's approach is that when you quote to me a story that you saw that the rabbis halacha lemaisa did something, that has probably the most weight in halacha. That can be more weighty if you have a brisa that says machlokes yachid and rabim. But you have a story like the Yachid, so then that story can overrule the Rambam. So what Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel said to Rabbi Yossi is, if we're not going to pause, then in the student's mind, we've just ruled halacha. We've just given halachic ruling, and then the halacha, you're closing the halacha against Rabbi Yehuda. Is that what you really want to do right now? Up until now, we had two opinions in halacha. Amru, so they said, Lo zazu mishamat shekavu halachak Rabbi Yossi. They came to account, they passed in the halachas like Rabbi Yossi, and they continued eating their meal, and that's the halacha. The halacha became like Rabbi Yossi. So at this point in the Gemara, it seems that we have two opinions, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. We have two opinions about whether you're allowed to start a meal on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tiv. And there it seems like we ruled like Rabbi Yossi, that you're allowed to start a meal any afternoon other than Pesach afternoon. And then we have another question, do you have to stop your meal in honor of Shabbos and Yom Tov? Let's say you started your meal before Mincha time, but the meal ran into Shabbos or Yom Tov. So here, at this point, it seems the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. You have to stop your meal. You don't have to stop your meal. You could run your meal into Shabbos. So far, so good? Yeah? We're all together?
For story, you need a certain amount of witnesses. You have
to say no. No. It's enough that you have one witness who's a rabbi. So long as the people who are acting in the story are big rabbis. Mm-hmm. It's enough that you have one. It says, Rebbe got testimony that Rebbe Meir ate a vegetable in Beit Shan without taking off Trumas and Maestros. One person, Rebbe Meir. But Rebbe got testimony, and based on that testimony, Rebbe ruled that all Beit Shan doesn't have to take off Trumas and Maestros. Beit Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. You have to validate the testimony. You have to make sure the one who's testifying validated the story. But once you have all the details, one person. But if he's a big person. So far the halacha seems to be leaning in Rabbi Yossi's favor, which isn't surprising because we said halacha Rabbi Yossi mechaveru. But now the Gemara is going to take us in a totally different direction. And here's where the halacha really begins. Up until now, all this was a backdrop to halacha. Now we're going to start learning the halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Who was Shmuel? Which generation? Shmuel was the first generation after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Shmuel was a doctor. He was Rebbe's doctor. Yeah, Shmuel was an astronomer. Shmuel. So, Rabbi Yehuda quotes in the name of Shmuel. Do we have a Gemara? Maybe come look in with Mr. Aaron Price. We're short on Gemaras today. Israel Meir, right here. Tosfos over here, Tosfos Rabbi Yossi, Tosfos points out, we're going to see halacha in a few pages, the Gemara is going to say, in kiddush rav mikom suda. In order for it to qualify as kiddush, you have to eat something there. So Tosfos is going to say, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're going to finish your meal, and after the meal you'll make kiddush. How does that qualify for kiddush? What meal are you eating? So Tosfos offers an interesting point, understanding. He says, the fact that you just finished the meal there, that can also qualify as kiddush b'makom suuda, because you just finished the meal there. We have a rule. We're going to see it later on in the Masechet. When you make kiddush, let's say you go to a kiddush, right? So they make kiddush there. You're in shul, someone has a bar mitzvah, they make kiddush. You drink your wine. So you have this little cup of wine. The halacha says, you did not make kiddush unless you made kiddush plus ate something there. You have to eat a kezayis, as we'll see. In kiddush b'makom suuda. Kiddush does not qualify unless it's at the place of the meal. So Tosfos asks, according to Rabbi Yossi's opinion, I understand, you were at a wedding, you've been eating all Friday afternoon, you started before mincha time, you didn't start when Chazal said you shouldn't be eating your meal. You started early, the meal ran into Shabbos, so Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to stop your meal, you could keep eating your meal. Great, you finished the meal, now you're not going to eat a Shabbos meal, you just finished, you're stuffed, right? So what does Rabbi Yossi say? Make kiddush. But we just said, you're not allowed to make kiddush unless you're going to eat a meal after kiddush. It has to be kiddush b'makom suuda. So Tosfos says, what kind of kiddush b'makom suuda is it? So Tosfos offers that the fact that you just finished the meal is also kiddush b'makom suuda. Okay, so that's Tosfos' answer. Okay, so now the Gemara brings us a quote. We could offer another answer to Tosfos' question. There's an opinion that's quoted in Halacha that says that drinking the full revius of wine is also considered makom suda. Meaning, let's say you made kiddush for your wife. You're here at Machon Meir. It's Rosh Hashanah morning. Before the tkiyas, they want you to make kiddush. But there isn't enough cake. The guy's all polished off the cake. But you got a full cup of wine, right? So The halacha says, this is an opinion that we rely on when we have to, lechatchila we don't, because it's a machlokas, but there is such an opinion that says that drinking a full revius of wine, that also constitutes makom suda, because wine, that fills you up. So wine is different than other drinks. A cup of Coke doesn't cut it. It's got to be a cup of wine. So you got to get your wife a cup of wine too, because she has to have kiddush b'makom suda also. Kiddush doesn't qualify unless it's b'makom suda. Another instance where this might be relevant is, let's say you have a bris on Shabbos. So at the bris you drink wine, right? You make a blessing over naming the child, and you drink some wine. How could you drink that wine? You need to make kiddush. So we say, okay, what's kiddush in the morning? Really, it's Bor Priya Gafen. It's a blessing Bor Priya Gafen. We honor the blessing by saying a bunch of psukim before it. So technically, drinking the wine isn't the problem. But how can you make kiddush afterwards? You're going to go to the hall to eat the suda. You're going to go to the hall to eat from the mezonos. So some people bring mezonos to the place of the bris so that they have kiddush b'makom suda. But let's say you're a guest and suddenly they're honoring you with making the blessing over the cup of wine and they don't have any mezonos there. So you can't detain everyone and tell them, go to the hall, fetch me some kezayis mezonos. So you could rely on the opinion that says that a revius of wine is also makom suda. So you just drink down the whole cup. Okay.
What do you do if you have one cup of wine, your wife can't drink wine, she's pregnant or for whatever reason? So then you can have the wine and she's not...
Get her mezonos. So
like you said, the Machon Meir gets...
If you polish up the mezonos, you got a problem. But if she's pregnant, she has to drink. So if you can get her grape juice, good. But if you can't get her grape juice, then she has to drink anyways. Anyways, women aren't having... they're allowed to drink before kiddush. Women, well, it depends on whether they ordinarily daven or not. A woman that always davens, so her chiv of kiddush only comes after she davens. So she's allowed to drink before davening. Shabbos morning, she could eat, she could drink, she's not chiving kiddush. Let's say she doesn't daven. So then she's chiving kiddush from the moment she wakes up. But technically, if you don't have wine, so she can make kiddush on Coke, you know. That's the halachas we're going to see later on. That chamar medina. Now, when you don't have anything else, you make kiddush on a different dime. But usually you can get yourself something. Sure. Okay, back to our gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda quoted in the name of Shmuel, and we just discussed that Shmuel was a disciple of Rav Yehuda Anasi. He was Rav Yehuda Anasi's doctor, and he was a top astronomer. He was also a top doctor. En alacha, lo ke Rav Yehuda, velo ke Rav Yossi. Okay, blows us away. He says, the halacha is not like anything you just read. Not like Rav Yehuda, not like Rav Yossi. Ela, but what do? Pores mapa, spread a tablecloth, kaddish, and make kiddish. And then eat your meal. You're in the middle of your meal. Okay, we're not blaming you. You started your meal early enough that you're okay. You're a kosher Jew. But your meal ran into Shabbos, so don't continue eating. Stop. Cover the food, make kiddush, and then this becomes your Shabbos meal, and you'll bench in the end and for the Shabbos meal. Fair? Yeah?
Also.
Oh, davening, they weren't so worried about it, seems. You'll say your Kriyashma, and davening you'll do later, you're in the middle of a meal. Kriyashma is Doraisa, davening, they were like, okay. Don't forget, in their day, they didn't have Lechal Dodi. That was Rav Kavetz, a few centuries after the Gemara. They didn't have Kabbalah Shabbos, and all of davening was very, very short, you know, the nighttime davening. So they said, okay, you'll say Shema now, and the rest you'll catch later. Okay. Okay, so what are they telling us? They're saying, spread a tablecloth and make kiddush. Spread a tablecloth and make kiddush, and then finish your meal. So the question is, are they talking about Pesach? That's an unusual Seder. You know, or are they talking about the regular Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov? So Rashbam seems to learn they're talking about Pesach. Because Rashbam says like this, I'm sorry. Rashbam says, Veloka Rabbi Yossi, says the Rashbam, Damarin tichlef sikla lelaig mosu da tofin mchashicha, vivachu bikat amazon, vachakach mevilo kos sheni likidush hayom. I'm sorry. Rashbam says, no. You spread the tablecloth, saying it's not like Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi's opinion was you don't stop, but finish the meal, and after the meal you bench. And then you bring another cup after benching. You benched over one cup, you bring another cup for Kiddush. The halacha is not going to be like him. Kiditani lekaman b'shmaitin, ela, but what do you do? Pores mapala ma'achal. Just like every Shabbos, according to the Rashbam, this is the source for what we do, that we put a tablecloth over the challah. The Rashbam says, this line that we just read, that you cover the bread, well, every time you come to make kiddush, the bread is already there at the table. So just like every Shabbos, you cover the bread, kiditani lekaman, as we'll see later on, that if you have the bread at the table and you want to make kiddush, so you cover it. Inami mishum siluk ptora v'achakach yoma omer kiddush hayom al hakos v'chozer v'ocher v'gomer sudato. And then you make kiddush and then you finish the meal. Okay. Rashbam says, I think that Shmuel really holds halachas like Rabbi Yossi. How could Shmuel blow away a brisa that says the halachas like Rabbi Yossi? We just read a brisa that says everyone agreed they pass on halachas like Rabbi Yossi. So how could Shmuel say differently? So he says, I think maybe Shmuel came to be machmir on himself. That you shouldn't finish the meal. But make kiddush and then finish the meal. Because otherwise, what's Shmuel doing? He's inventing a new shita. Doesn't say it in the braisa. The braisa said Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel's going in between. He's telling you a new shita. Where did he get that from? So that's the Rashbam. And Tosfos over here says uvchinam dachak. See Tosfos, maybe six lines from the bottom. He says Rashbam said this pshat. It's a very tough pshat to say. Shmuel says halacha, and you say no. I was just going to be machmir. Really, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. He says no. Shmuel's like chachamim. In the Jerusalem Talmud, there's an opinion of chachamim that they say like Shmuel. In our Talmud, it's not quoted, but in the Jerusalem Talmud, there is such an opinion. So Tosfos says, and who's the halacha like? So he says you have different sources that seem to point in different directions. So Here he says we should be more stringent, we should go like Shmuel. And that's what's quoted in Halacha. Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to eat anything for kish, you're not even allowed to drink water. You know, before Avdalah, you're allowed to drink water. Matzah Shabbos comes and you didn't make Avdalah yet, you're not allowed to eat, but you can drink water. But on Friday night, no. You have to stop, even if you're in the middle of a meal, stop, spread something over the food, make kiddush, and then continue your meal. Back to the Gemara. Ela pores mapa kadesh. So what did Shmuel tell us to do? Cover the food, make kiddush, and then continue the meal. Any, is that really so? We have a quote in the name of Shmuel, Kishem Shemafsikin Lekidush, just as we stopped the meal for Kiddush, Kach Mafsikin Avdala. Let's say we were all eating a meal, this happens often, comes Matzei Shabbos. So we have a quote in the name of Shmuel, don't keep going with your meal. Stop, make Avdala, then keep going. So we know we don't rule like that, right? Halacha is not like this. But this is the quote. So, the Gemara says, wait a second. Doesn't this seem to be different than this quote in the name of Shmuel? Here Shmuel is telling me, I don't have to stop my meal. I just cover the food, make kiddush, and keep going on with my meal. Here Shmuel says, stop your meal. My mafsikin, what does Shmuel mean, stop your meal for kiddush and avdala? Lav la kirat shulchan, doesn't he mean, stop the meal, remove the table, start from scratch, like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And then that would contradict our ruling that said, cover the food, but you don't have to start from scratch. Says the Gemara, no. Even here, when Shmuel said stop the meal for kiddush, he meant lemapa, just to cover the food. But he didn't mean that you have to stop the meal and start from scratch, make kiddush and start from scratch. Okay, so right now where things stand, we have a quote in the name of Shmuel that if someone was in the middle of a meal, then they pause, they cover the food, they make kiddush, and then they could continue the meal. Fair enough, and we mentioned that you should just say Shema. The Shema is biblical. So far we're all together? Okay. Rabbi Baravuna ikla lebei Reish Galuta. Rabbi Baravuna came to the house of the Reish Galusa. Now, in those days, the Reish Galusa was the politician. He was the chief bureaucrat. He wasn't necessarily a Talmud Chacham. But he was the one that wielded the power. So Rabbi Bar Avuna came to his house. Aitu tacha kame. They brought the table before him. Paras mapa vekidish. So they bring the table before him with all the food. He's supposed to make kiddush. So what does he do? He covers the table. He places a tablecloth. He places some kind of napkin over the food, and he makes kiddush. Tanya namihachi. We have a brisa like this that says also shen mevin tashuchan elen ken kiddush. Don't bring the food out if you haven't yet made kiddush. And if you brought the food out before kiddush, pores mafal mekadesh, you spread a cloth over it and you make kiddush. Tosfos says, so then why do we have the bread on the table when we make kiddush? So Tosfos says, in their day and age, the table would move. In our day and age, the table's already there. So it's a different story. But we'll see more on this Bezat Hashem as we go further. We'll see in a second. Tosfos says a stronger question. Let's see Tosfos. She'en mevin et hashulchan elen ken kiddush. We just quoted, you're not supposed to bring the food to the table unless you made kiddush. Says Tosfos, ve'had amar b'kol kitvei. The Talmud tells us in the end of Shabbos, in a chapter called Kol Kitvei, it says that when a person leaves shul on Friday night, two angels accompany him, a good angel and a bad angel. You come home and the house is set, matzah shulchan aruch, and you find the table set and all the food is ready, Malach Tov Omer, the good angel says, may it be this way next week, and the bad angel has no choice, he has to say Amen. So it's interesting, my kids were taught this in Gan. I came home from shul one day, and Moshe Yehuda says to me, where are the angels, Anna? I said, right here, you don't see them? So Tosa says, wait a second, from that Gemara it would seem to mean that your table is supposed to be set when you come home. So what's the Gemara mean over here? You're not supposed to bring out the food until you make kiddush. Tosa says, lo kasha, that's not difficult. Daruchu b'makom acher. Achen mevi'in oto l'mkom asuda ad achar kiddush. It means the table's set and ready to be brought. The food is all ready. but they haven't yet brought it before you till after Kiddush. When it says, if the angel, if you walk home and the food's ready, it doesn't mean it's ready on the table. Remember, they used to bring in the tables for the meal. It was all set and ready to be brought in. V'achshav shulchanot shelanu shem gdolim yotel midai, but our tables are too big. You can't bring them in and out of the room. V'kashe laviyam achal kiddush, so it's too difficult to bring them in after Kiddush. Shelo lafsik kol kach ben kiddush lasuda, it would be too tedious to start make Kiddush on a cup and then bring in the table. That would be a huge pause. Anu regilim nipos mafav lekiddush. We, our custom is, the bread is on the table, but we cover it and then we make Kiddush. So why do we do that? Wouldn't it be better not to have the bread there altogether? So there was a work called She'iltos that Rav Chai Gaon wrote. Rav Chai Gaon wrote, it's like questions. Basically, he sets the Gemara up in a logical order. You'll notice that the Gemara very often is in an order where the information you need is only given to you later on in the Gemara. You start tractate Shabbos, and you have to reach the 7th chapter to see the 49 prohibited actions. Like, wait a second, shouldn't that have been the first Mishnah? So the order is not necessarily the order that you would teach it in. So the She'iltos is in a very logical order. He always gives you information, and then the next piece you need to know, and he always works his way up. So the She'iltos was written by Rav Chai Gaon, who lived so shortly after the Talmud, that there's an opinion in Tosfos that every time we encounter Parech Rav Chai questions in the Talmud, it's Rav Chai Gaon. That the Gonim interjected his opinion into the Talmud. So he was a very early Gon, Rav Chai Gaon. So the Rav Chai Gaon explains that the reason we do this is ki hechi d'teiti se'udita be'yikra de'shabata. We want the meal to come in the honor of Shabbos. So it's as though you're making Kiddush and the meal is there already. It's all with the honor of Shabbos. D'yesh mefaresh, and some explain that the reason we do it this way, with a cloth on top and a cloth on bottom, Zecher laman shelo haya yored b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim. Man would not fall down on Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'haya tal milmata u'milmala v'aman bintayim. They'd have the man would come in packages. They'd have a dew on bottom, a thin layer of dew that was frozen on bottom, a thin layer of dew that was frozen on top, and the man in between. So we commemorate that. That's how we do our challah. The cutting board is there not just for the cutting. It's there because you're supposed to have a tablecloth beneath and a tablecloth on top. Sometimes you come to the simcha and they give everyone a roll. And afterwards they'll give you your fish plate, right? So whenever I get a roll, I always take my wife's napkin and put it under the rolls. And I take my napkin and put it on top of the rolls. Because there's an inyan that there should be something beneath and something on top. I'm not going to cut the roll, but that's not the point. The cutting board isn't there only for the cutting. You're supposed to have two layers, zecher l'man, in commemoration of the man. Sometimes they don't give you a plate. Sometimes they give you rolls, and afterwards they're going to give you a fish plate, and afterwards, well, right? If you have your plate, fine. The plate is fine. Yeah.
Any plate.
So I don't think the tablecloth cuts it, because it's like the tablecloth is on the table. It's not there for the bread. I don't think so. You know, I don't know that it says it anywhere, but I don't think so.
Going back for a second.
Yeah.
You said that when you get home on Friday night, you're not allowed to have anything, even water, as opposed to how the difference is how dalai you're allowed to have water. If you're at shul, like this time of year, it's 100 degrees, so can you drink water then before? You know, you're Kabbalah Shabbat, it's 100 degrees outside.
Once Shabbat settles in, you shouldn't do it. What I sometimes do, if I know I'm at a simcha and I'm going to have to walk a long distance, right. So I bring a little bottle of grape juice, and I bring a... The only problem is you have to do Lechem Mishnah, you know, Friday night. It can get complicated, but there are ways around it, you know. Shabbos morning, I'll often come to shul with a little bottle of grape juice and cake or cookies for that same reason, because it's very hot outside. Yeah.
But Shabbos morning, could you have water Shabbos morning before Kiddush?
Before davening, you could, because you're not yet chayvin Kiddush. Once you daven Shachris, and you could make Kiddush, you're chayvin Kiddush. So then you should make Kiddush. And again, if you're in shul and all they have is cola and you need to drink and they don't have grape juice, so you can make Kiddush and cola. Say shahakol mi b'dvara, not a bori kriya gafen. But again, you know, chachamei nat b'rosho. I have many times where I do this. I do this sometimes here. I do this sometimes when I'm by my in-laws. You know, let's say you're by people. They're going to have the meal at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They do this in America, right? So I and sometimes you're not so comfortable asking them for their wine and their cake, and they're like, What? Why can't you wait? Or just to have a piece of cake. What do you need my wine for, right? So when I go away for Shabbos, I'll sometimes take a little water bottle filled with grape juice. Yeah. You don't feel comfortable asking your hosts. You're busy enough. You come to a family simcha. Sometimes lunch is at 1 or 2. What are you going to do? So you buy a pack of ragalach and you bring a little bottle with grape juice. Yeah.
You said between kiddush and a meal, it was considered like a too big hafsaka. So what is too big?
That's a good question. There's a shear that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I don't remember the shear. It's like 150 footsteps. There's an exact shear that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's a chatchila. We don't make a pause. I mean, it's supposed to be one after the other. We're going to see Bezrat Hashem. That's the next amud. That's next week's learning. The idea of Kiddush Bimkom Seuda. Next week, that's what we're going to learn. Okay. So here we saw this very important tosis that we cover the bread, so that it's zecher leman. Now the man we'd get double, right? So it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Every meal you have on Shabbos, you should make hamotzi over 2 loaves of bread. Meaning sometimes you're going to eat 5 meals on Shabbos, right? So there are 3 that you have to, and then. You sometimes they invite you for Sheva Brachas, and you get dragged around. So you could eat with your family, right? You eat with your family the Shabbos morning meal, and then they call you Mechon Meir, they want you to speak lunch, right? So you go to Mechon Meir to speak lunch. Then you go to your family and you eat Sudash Lashid, and then there's a guy from Mechon Meir who has Sheva Brachas, he wants you to join him for Sheva Brachas. So then you schlep out the Sheva Brachas. You could easily find yourself eating 5 meals on Shabbos. Says the Raman Shulchan Aruch, every meal you should make a motzi on 2 loaves, commemorating the man that fell twice. Now, what happens if you've been traveling and you got stuck in the airport, your flight got delayed, so you didn't get challis in the airport, but all you could find are Entenmann's donuts. Okay, you found or loaves of cake. So that's pata baba kisnim. You should at least make hamotzi on 2 of those. You know, take 2 pieces of cake and not pieces, 2 whole cakes, preferably. Again, zecher leman, if that's the best you can do. How could you make hamotzi? Because pata ba bekisnin, if you're going to eat a large enough volume that you're koveh seuda, if you eat 3-4 eggs worth of volume of that, plus the vegetables, plus everything else you're going to eat, so then you could make hamotzi on that. Okay, again, that's not what we do ideally, but you could have instances where you don't have another option, so that's what you do. Okay, back to the Gemara. So, we had the story that Rabbi Bar Avuna came to the Reish Galuso. We said the Reish Galuso was this top bureaucrat, not necessarily a Talmud Chacham. They brought the table before him. He covered it with a tablecloth to make Kiddush. And then we saw the Tosfos, that this is our custom. And Tosfos says there's a difference. We have smaller tables. He brought the Sheiltos. And he also brought that it's Zecher Leman. We all know that there's the other reason that if you're going to make Kiddush, so you're about to eat something, Mezonos comes before a Geffen. And if the mezonos is revealed, then technically you should make the blessing on the mezonos before you make Kiddush. So we cover the bread, because otherwise we would really have to make a blessing on the bread before the Kiddush. Okay. Tanya Namiyachi. We quoted that. Okay, we'll do that again. Tanya Namiyachi. Veshavin, Shein Mevin, Tashulchan Elayim Ken Kiddush. Everyone agrees you shouldn't bring the table unless you make Kiddush. Vimevin, if you did bring the table, Pores Mapal Mikaddush. You cover it with some kind of tablecloth or some kind of napkin, and you make Kiddush, and only afterwards you eat the bread. Tani Chada. We have one quote. Let's see, just a second. This is going to take us into the next daf. Now we're starting a long sugya. But I suggest we begin, unless you guys want to fill in some tosasim, yeah? What do you say? Move forward?
No.
Fill in? Okay. So this is going to be just as long. The Rashbam. This we did. Yes, we did. Okay. So I don't think there's so much to fill in. We did. Yeah, the other stuff is technical. The halachas we basically did. Okay. We don't have to go into all the details of what happens if your meal runs into Monte Shabbos, it's a different opinion. We got the halachas that we needed. No, let's move forward. Okay. Back to the Gemara. So we're going to start a sugyo, which will really take us into next week's sugyo, but that's okay. This way, when we learn it next week, we'll be more familiar with it. Tani Chada, we have one quote that says, Shavim she'en matchirin. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree that on Erev Shabbos, you don't start the meal right near Shabbos. V'tanya idach, and we have another quote that says, Shavim she'en matchirin. Everyone agrees, you could start your meal. So, what instance would they all agree you're allowed to start your meal in the afternoon beforehand? And what instance would they all agree they're not supposed to? Bishtamah detanya shavin she'en matchilin. I understand when it says in the, if you say in the Brisa that everyone agrees you're not supposed to start your meal adjacent to the holiday, mishkachet laver of Pesach. That Brisa works out if we're talking about the eve of Pesach. There we said Rabbi Yossi agrees. Rabbi Yossi also agrees you shouldn't start your meal. Yes? Guys, we're all together? Ela haditanya shavin shematchilin, but the Brisa that says that everyone's in agreement that you may start your meal, Eimat, when is that talking about? When does everyone agree you may start your meal? Inim abeir Shabbat, if you'll tell me it's talking about Erev Shabbos, hamiflag pligi, that's, we saw the Brisa, they disagree. Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to start a meal on Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda says you're not. So that can't be where they all agree. Lo kasha, kan kodim tisha, kan kodim tisha, kan achal tisha. No, that's not a question. It depends on when. Even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say you can't eat breakfast on Friday. He doesn't say you can't eat lunch on Friday. He says from 9 hours onward, from adjacent to Mincha, from 9 hours onward, then you shouldn't be starting meals on Friday to maintain an appetite for Shabbos. But what about starting a meal before 9 hours into the day? You want to eat lunch? That Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to do. That's what the Brisa means. Everyone's in agreement. You're allowed to start a meal. It means you're allowed to start a meal earlier in the day. Okay, so that basically closes this. Otam bnei adam shekideshu bebet haKnesset. Okay, now we're starting a fascinating sugya. Everyone here has been to Chutz Laretz, so you guys will all understand this sugya. You're well ahead of the Israelis who learn the sugya and don't know what they're talking about. When Israelis learn the sugya, they come to the chutznikim and they ask him, well, what is it that they do in Chutz Laretz? So we all know that in Chutz Laretz, I forgot this, I took my son to shul when we were in Chutz Laretz, and after davening, the chazan makes kiddush, and my son was the only little boy there, so they tell him, come up. So it's the first time he's in shul in Chutz Laretz, and the gabbai signals him to come up. He hides behind me, and he's speaking like, what do they want from me? What did I do wrong? So I told him, they want to give you grape juice. You know, they're making kiddush, you're going to drink it. So he wouldn't go up. So they brought him the grape juice, so he wouldn't drink it. Until no one was looking, and everyone left shul, then he enjoyed it. But this custom goes back to the time of the Gemara, that they make kiddush and shul. And the Shulchan Aruch says, in Chutz Laretz, they have this minute still that they make kiddush and shul. Here in Eretz Yisrael, they don't. In the time of the Beis Yosef already, they didn't have this custom in Israel. They did not make Kiddush and Shul. And the logic behind it, we will see as we work forward in the sugya. So, those people, Otam Bnei Adam, before we go forward, we need one more point of introduction. Today, wine and grape juice are very cheap. Once upon a time, you know, when Jews were living in Israel, so wine was plenty. You know, people would drink wine like we would drink juice. They didn't have juice. You know, if you weren't drinking water, you were drinking wine. That was it. And they hardly had grape juice because they had grape juice only for a few days when they'd harvest the grapes. So then they'd have grape juice. Afterwards, any grape juice would turn sour on them. So they'd turn it all into wine. They didn't have grape juice. Grape juice was just a non-entity in those days. They weren't drinking grape juice. That's why in Halacha you see very little reference to grape juice. This morning I was talking to Rav Traeger, Rabbi who I learned with, who I learned by, about the laws of grape juice and everything he told me. I said, where'd you see that written? Because I looked and I didn't find it written. He said, that's not written. So after two or three questions, I asked them about the halachas of grape juice compared to wine. I said, wait a second, you're telling me everything that's not written and that's not written. So then he explained this concept to me, which I knew that Baron Herzog said this. We're going to learn a Gemara later on that Rabbi Yehuda would drink the four cups of wine on Pesach, and then he'd have a stomachache for months, for like weeks after Pesach, because he couldn't handle the stomach, the wine from Pesach. So Rabbi Feinstein in Tshuva stipulates, he said, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda drink grape juice? So Baron Herzog, who had Herzog wine, sent him a letter, and he said, Rabbi, I deal with grapes. Believe me, there are no grapes around Pesach time to make grape juice. There was no way he could have had grape juice from Sukkot when they harvest the grapes. Now is the harvest time. If you want to know when to buy good grapes in the Shuk, it starts in 3 weeks from now. 2-3 weeks from now is the time when you can get a lot of grapes. You want to make your own grape juice, now's the time. So he said to him, you know, that's why Rabbi Yehuda didn't have grape juice. But at any rate, so that's why we have very little response of, very little halacha about grape juice, because it just was a non-entity in Chazal's time. So what they had generally was water and wine. Their juice was wine. You sat at a meal, you wanted something more than water, you drink wine. This was true in Israel. Once we go out to Europe, and there many countries don't grow grapes, and if they grow grapes, it's not where everyone's living, it's out in the countryside. And then you have people like Rashi who have their grapevines, you have Rabbeinu Tam, but you have a lot of people who are living in communities where in that community there is no wine to be found. And to start transferring wine brings you into the problem of stam yenam. How do you get wine that was not held alone by a non-Jew, but the non-Jew might have done something with it? So it was very, very difficult to get kosher wine. And kosher wine was so expensive that every God-fearing Jew in Europe would have two cups for Kiddush, one for the nighttime Kiddush and one for the daytime Kiddush. The nighttime Kiddush, which is biblical, is the Oraisa. They take the bigger shear, the Chazanisha shear, what's called the Chazanisha shear, because that's Midoraisa. And the daytime Kiddush, that's Drabanan, they do like it says in the Mishnah Brura, they take the smaller shear. They have a special cup for Kiddush, for the daytime Kiddush, which was a smaller shear, which was a smaller volume. And it was cheaper for them to invest in the silver, to have another silver goblet for Kiddush Shabbos Day, the smaller goblet, than to invest in the wine and use the bigger goblet for both Kiddush, because wine was so expensive. And it was such a rare commodity that the Mishnah Brura tells you how to make wine out of raisins. Tells you how to make raisin wine. Because he says, I see people aren't getting a hold of good kosher wine, so I'll tell you how to make wine out of raisins. That's what they had. People were making their kiddush on beer and on med, because they couldn't get wine. So when we discuss people trying to be yotze kiddush in different ways, we have to understand that this was a very pertinent halacha in the last 1,000 years that the Jews were in Europe. So otam bnei adam, and we'll just read the first lines here. Those people shekidshu b'beit hakneset, that they heard kiddush in shul, and that's talking about the kiddush that the shaliach tzibur makes in chutz laretz after davening. Amar rav. Rav taught, yedei yain lo yatsu, yedei kiddush yatsu. They did not fulfill their obligation of drinking wine, but they did fulfill their obligation of kiddush. B'shmuel amar, af yedei kiddush lo yatsu. And Shmuel says, kiddush they also didn't obligate, because they have to do kiddush at the place that they're eating their meal. And this is the beginning of the sugya, which we started discussing earlier tonight, the idea of kiddush b'mkom suda, that in order for kiddush to be valid, you have to say kiddush where you're going to have the meal. And here the Gemara is going to expand on that, and Mezat Shem next week we'll learn the halachot of Kiddush Benkom Suda, and I'll try to remember. If you email me, it'll help.